Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I did.
Dr. Al Steve Wines, Living Water, Drinking Deeply, coming at you from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I just want to say good morning to all of my listeners, whether you are listening online or will be listening later online, whether you are listening live by phone, I just want to say good morning to you. I am so glad that you are here. I am so glad that you are joining me on this Monday morning, because we are here to help you get your day started, to help you get your started, to help you keep moving throughout the month, throughout the year, throughout your entire life. Our purpose here at Living Water, Drinking Deeply is to encourage compassionate living through a deeper understanding of the biblical text. And so I just want you to know that I am so glad that you are here. I am delighted and excited and thrilled and ignited just because we are together on this Monday morning. In other words, I want you to know that my heart is excited, my soul is delighted, and my spirit is ignited to be with you on this Monday morning. So glad to be with you. I just want you to know that I appreciate you so much. I want to send a shout out to all of my listeners. I was looking at my statistics this morning and noticing that we have doubled, and I am excited about that. So I want you to know that I really appreciate you so very much. And, of course, I want to encourage you to share the news about our Monday morning broadcast, and let's spread this word around so that we can double again. It is indeed a wondrous joy to be with you on Monday mornings because it helps me get my day started, my week started, keep going throughout the year, the month, throughout my entire life. I just want to talk a little bit this morning about where the name came from for Living Water, Drinking Deeply. You may realize that that is an allusion to the story about the woman at the well. And I want to say good morning and a shout out to my good friend and colleague, Reverend Cynthia Cole, for she had an event called Christmas Delight many years ago. I have forgotten how long ago it has been now, probably 8 to 10 years now. And, of course, we met in school and seminary. And she had this event called Delight that she did over in Dallas. And it was a wonderful, wonderful event. And she asked me to, it was a program where she had women, several of us sharing the story of several biblical women. And so she asked me to do the story of the woman at the well. And, of course, I'm not a, you know, great actress or anything like that, but I certainly could do that, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And ever since then, this woman has been so much a part of my life, this Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. And when it came time to think about building the ministry, I said, you know what, that is perfect, Living Water, Drinking Deeply. It also captures the idea that I love not only to touch on biblical texts, but I like to sometimes go deeper and highlight some perspectives and highlight some ideas that perhaps we have not thought about or have overlooked. And this woman, the reason probably why we know her story is she's not named, but she has this long conversation with Jesus. You know, most of the stories are short, especially in the other Gospels, but in the Gospel of John, of course, Jesus has a number of long conversations with people. In chapter 3, there's a long conversation with Nicodemus, and here in chapter 4, there is this long conversation with the woman at the well. And there is so much going on in this text. We'll see how much of it we can cover this morning, and I don't know, we may have to continue the discussion on it even next week or maybe a couple of weeks thereafter. We don't know. We'll see what the Spirit says. At any rate, I imagine perhaps you are familiar with this story, but just in case, I want to share a little bit about the story. Jesus is traveling, and he is going from Judea, which is considered in the southern part of, well, let's just say Israel. The borders change over time, but at any rate, basically it's in what was historically the southern part, and then Galilee was the northern part. And so in between is Samaria. And so Jesus is going from Judea in the south, and he's headed toward Galilee. And according to the story, people usually went the long way around. Do you ever go the long way around? You know, I am a person who often will go the long way around to avoid traffic, or sometimes rather, especially at night, to avoid getting on the freeway. And so very often, hold on just a moment.
Okay, I did.
A breakthrough coming your way. It's a mighty move of God. It's gonna change your day.
Thank you for that. I have been talking so much. Every now and then I lose my voice a little bit, so thank you for waiting. But anyway, I was telling you that so often I take the long way around, because I want to sometimes avoid the freeway, especially at night, and then also, you know, sometimes where they're building and changing the freeways and all of that, I don't want to deal with all that traffic, and so I'll just take what they call the blue road. I'm the blue road woman. People are amazed who ride with me. They are amazed at how it is I can find my way around the city in so many different ways. I know the blue roads. And so Jesus is doing something similar. He's going through Samaria instead of taking the long way around, which people normally took. He decided he was going to go through Samaria. And the way the scripture puts it is that he had to go. Something seemed to compel him, to let him know that he needed to go and to do something different. Even in that, even just in the route that he traveled, even in that, he was preaching a sermon. In other words, a sermon about inclusion. You know, inclusion is so important. And as we look at our society, you know, we look at our churches, we look at the world, we see that the world is still trying to figure out a way to be inclusive. And it really saddens me when I see these stories and I see these headlines, and there's so much disrespect and discontent for one another. And it just seems that we just cannot get it, that we are all human beings made in the image of God, and it is our responsibility to try to figure out how to love one another. You know, Jesus said, love God, love one another, and love yourself. But in this particular story, simply by the route that he is traveling, Jesus is preaching a sermon about inclusion, because he's going to a territory that, you know, people just didn't, they didn't go there. They didn't want to deal with the Samaritans. They thought so little of them that they would go the long way around. But I love how it is that Jesus went to this in-between place. He went to the place where people normally wouldn't go. He spoke to a woman to whom people normally would not have spoken to, for a couple of reasons. For one, she was a woman in public, and then also she was a Samaritan woman. But again, Jesus is preaching a sermon by what he does. You know, he doesn't even have to open his mouth. Just what he does so often is a sermon in and of itself. And in this conversation, Jesus opens up and he says, you know, I love this. He admits he needs something. And so he asks somebody for something. You know, sometimes we don't think of Jesus as asking for things or needing things. But here he is, thirsty and wanting a drink of water. And he simply asks the woman, and, you know, she's the one who brings up, well, you know, why are you talking to me? And Jesus reassures her that, in effect, that it's all right to talk with him by telling her that he has some living water. And I can understand her. She says, you know, well, give me some of this water because I don't want to have to come up here and get this water. Going to draw the water is such a hard time, such a difficult job. I recall how it is when we went traveling, my daughter and I, Dr. Stacy Ford Thomas, a shout out to her who took us there on a, actually it was a class that I was taking and Tajiri was with me. And, but it was so sad to see the women and the children drawing the water. I want you to know that's a difficult job. That is a tough job to go get the water. And of course, even in today's time, you know, people don't have anything but a bucket. And, you know, carrying that water very often on their heads, it's just a very difficult job. And so I don't blame her for saying, you know, show me where this water is because I'm tired of coming to this well to get this water. And then, of course, the conversation continues, and Jesus asks her about her husband, and she says she doesn't have one. Jesus affirms her, saying, you've had one, but the one you have now is not your husband. And, you know, we've heard so many things about this woman, but I want us to think in terms of what the scripture actually says. And it does not tell us the particulars of why she was there in the noonday, and there could be so many possibilities, but I want you to think about this piece that we know we can pick up for sure, and that this woman is doing what she has to do to survive. In this day and time, you had to have a man, a woman, you know, she couldn't go out and get a job or start a business or, you know, any of that. She would be very vulnerable, very vulnerable to being misused, mistreated, raped, you know, all of those kinds of mistreatment. And so rather than jeopardize herself in that kind of way, she finds herself in a relationship living with someone that she is not married to. So I want to suggest she is a survivor and that she is someone who's doing what she has to do to survive. And, you know, after that, it amazes me. I was telling people last night on the broadcast that I did last night that it amazes me that this woman respects Jesus, has picked up something about him, and simply says, well, you are a prophet. Now, I can imagine, and I'm speaking largely for myself, but I imagine you can identify with me that if someone that I didn't know just all of a sudden started asking me all of those personal questions, you know, I just, you know, I would ask them, well, who do you think you are, or something like that, as a matter of rebuttal, because I would probably not want to answer all of those questions, especially being so personal. And yet, Jesus had touched her heart. He had gone, I call it the jugular, he had gone to that place in her heart where she really was wounded and was really in this process of bringing healing to her life. And the conversation continues, and so she says, well, you're a prophet. Surely you can answer this question about where to worship. Do we go to Jerusalem or can we worship here? In other words, apparently it was still a big question after all those years, many years before when the nation split. Jeroboam had set up alternate worship places, and perhaps they were trying to worship God, but the mere fact that at that point worship of God was centralized in Jerusalem. So if they didn't go and hold on again.
Okay, I did.
Amen, amen. I was making the point that, you know, because these this alternative worship place had been set up at a time when worship was supposed to be centralized in Jerusalem, it was in effect setting up a false religion, even just by moving the location. And so anyway, Jesus lets her know that a time is coming when it's not about the physical place, but it's a matter of the heart. And so he suggests and tells her that it would be a matter of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And we certainly know that that has come to pass over the years, because now we know we can worship God anywhere at any time, certainly in our churches and in our synagogues, in our mosques. But certainly also anywhere we might be, at home, in the car, just anywhere. And the demand for us, or the command for us, is that we worship in spirit and in truth, that we be open and honest with God. My daughter wrote something for me when I was on my way to my Emmaus walk, and it's stuck with me so much, I keep it in my Bible, but one of the lines that she wrote to me is, love yourself enough to be honest with God. That has just stuck with me so much, that beautiful line. The whole thing was beautiful, and I'm sure at some point I will share that with you, but I just want to share this one line with you right now where she said, love yourself enough to be honest with God. And that speaks so much, because when we are withholding from God, when we are not being honest and open with God, it's actually a way of not being open and honest with ourselves. And so this is a reminder of the importance of approaching God in truth and with honesty and with the whole self. I call it the good, the bad, and the ugly, so that we can find healing and wholeness for those wounds in our lives when we connect with God. The conversation between them continues, and she explains that she knows the Messiah is coming, and I want you to pay attention to this part of the conversation. Because what this part of the conversation lets us know is that although this woman was, you know, let's use the language demonized, in other words, put down or thought so little of in her day and time, and yet here is this woman who has this apparently a deep relationship with God, or expectation of God, or hope in God. And so she raises the question about the Messiah coming. She raises that issue. And Jesus tells her, I am he. Well, my goodness, I can imagine that woman, I could just imagine, oh my God, I mean, can you imagine what it would be like if all of a sudden you're having a conversation with someone and, my goodness, you realize you are talking to Jesus himself. Oh my goodness, talking to the Messiah himself. The woman is so excited. She leaves her water pot, forgets what she really came to do, and goes to tell her entire community. Of course, the disciples are being themselves. They don't have a clue. They don't understand why Jesus and this woman are talking. And they certainly don't understand that his food is to do God's will. He's very often, you know, and of course, he and those kinds of things, but very often, he's not concerned with the physical food. He's concerned with, of course, the spiritual food. And I don't be like me. Sometimes I get busy working on projects or studying or writing, and I get so busy, you know, I forget to eat, or I may look up and the whole day has passed and I have not eaten anything. So I fully understand what Jesus is talking about there, about the spiritual things being our food and how that's really more important than the physical food. The story continues. She, you know, invites the people of her village, particularly the men, and I want you to pay attention to that, because the men in her village are accepting her testimony. They are accepting her story. That means that they have some kind of respect for her, some kind of willingness to listen to what she has to say. And they, of course, have their own encounter with Jesus, which is marvelous. They then say, you know, it's not because of what you heard, but because of what we ourselves have experienced. And now we know that Jesus is the Savior of the world. In fact, that community has impressed Jesus so much when they asked him to stay with him. And, you know, many of the communities that Jesus visited, they asked him to stay. And he would say, no, I've got to go on. I've got to share this news with someone else. And so I cannot tarry. I cannot stay with you. But this community apparently so impressed Jesus that he stayed with them for 2 days. Now, I wanted you to think about that in terms of inclusion and in terms of the impact that this Samaritan community had on Jesus, that he stayed. He apparently changed his plans and stayed with them for 2 days. That is marvelous to me, and it's a marvelous statement about so many things, about inclusion and about his willingness to stay in this community. That's something that, according to the text, you know, people would not have gone into that territory, let alone stay there for a while. And so this is such a marvelous story about this woman at the well and about Jesus' promise of living water. Of course, we know the living water is a reference to the Holy Spirit. And, of course, yesterday was Pentecost Sunday in the church calendar. If you're going from Advent to Advent, and, of course, Easter's in between and Lent is in between, all of that, Good Friday, all of that's in between. Then the day of the Ascension, which would have been 40 days, you know, after the resurrection, after the Passover period and all of that. And then the 50 days afterwards, we get the Pentecost. And, you know, that's the Spirit. Jesus had promised the disciples that when he left, he would send the Spirit. It amazes to me that he figured out a way to be in many places at the same time. In fact, not only with God, but also with all of us. And so it's just a marvelous passage of scripture that tells us so much about Jesus, his encounter with this woman. It tells us so much about the Holy Spirit, and that leaves us in a position of being able to give God thanks and give God praise for this Holy Spirit that has continued sharing this word with us individually as well as collectively, passing this word on from person to person and from generation to generation. And we enter this stream of believers all the way from ancient times until our time. And it will go on many, many years long after all of us are gone. And so what a wonderful, wonderful passage this morning to think about. And as you go through your week this week, I want you to think about drinking deeply from this living water. All you have to do is find a quiet space and just take some time and let God fill your heart the same way Jesus filled this woman's heart so much that it changed her life. I wish it would tell us what happened after all of this, but, you know, the scripture just tells us enough of what we need to know. But I can imagine, and clearly this is my imagination, this is not in the text, but I imagine that her life in one way or another was changed forever after this particular encounter with Jesus. And that happens to us, too, in that when we have an encounter with Jesus, then our lives, too, are changed, even whether we believe and receive it or not, or even if we decide, well, no, I don't want to hook up or connect with Jesus, even if we connect. Whether we connect or if we choose to disconnect or not connect, our lives are still changed by this encounter. So I want to bless all of you this morning. Wish you a wonderful, wonderful week. Wish you a wonderful day. And I tell you, I look forward to being with you again on next week. As we close, I want you to know that God loves you more than you ever could imagine. I want you to know that God loves you so much it will take God an entire eternity to give you all of that love. I want you to know that all of the good things that you want for yourself, God wants even more than that for you. God wants good things for you more than you want them for yourself. So as we close, I say the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord give you peace. The Lord be gracious unto you. Until the next time.
Okay, I did.
A breakthrough coming your way. It's a mighty move of God. It's gonna change your day. Signs and wonders, miracles to perform. God is gonna bless you for just holding on. Just hold on. Change is coming. I feel it in the air. It's in the atmosphere. Just hold on.
Oh, God is all.